Welcome to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban. And it's Monday morning, inshallah al-Aziz. We are going to look at two important things on this Monday morning. One is the Africa Center, where we, inshallah al-Aziz, we are going to look at learning about the Democratic Republic of Congo. That is our discussion that we are going to look at today, inshallah al-Aziz. And the second thing is we are going to look at parenting and look at the issues surrounding parenting and the great challenges that parents face and how to overcome those challenges, inshallah al-Aziz. Well, the first part of our program, where we look at the African country, like we said, we're looking at the Democratic Republic of Congo, learning more about the Democratic Republic of Congo, and trying to understand what this country is all about. We hear it coming up in the news quite often. When you just Google Democratic Republic of Congo, there's a number of news items that come up, even of recent as well. You know, if you just look at Google in the news, they say at least 7 civilians killed in Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo. And then another news item states that DR Congo humanitarian crisis must not fall off world's radar. It's according to UN Deputy Relief Chief. And then another one says Ugandan rebels killed 7 in East of Democratic Republic of Congo. So there's a number of news stories that come up when you Google Democratic Republic of Congo, but nevertheless, it's a beautiful, beautiful country, and it is something, it's a country that we can really learn from as well. Now, as much as a geographical concept as a fully fledged nation, the Democratic Republic of Congo, which was formerly known as Zaire, and I remember the days when it was known as Zaire as well, is one of the saddest chapters in modern history. The political folly of King Leopold of Belgium was one issue, and then the corrupt kleptocracy of maverick leader Mobutu Sese Seko, and then the bloodstained battlegrounds of Africa's first world war. And so that is what Democratic Republic of Congo has in its history. But there was decades-long decline in which much of the country descended into anarchy. Now it's by and large headed in the right direction. Still has a long way to go. There's militias who continue to brutalize civilians in many areas. But there's new roads, enormous untapped mineral wealth, and the world's largest UN peacekeeping force. This has bred optimism among its tormented but resilient population. There's huge swaths of rainforest, and there's gushing rivers, smoking volcanoes. It's the ultimate African adventure, if you want to call it that. There's nothing soft or easy about the Democratic Republic of Congo. But you'll never forget that this is the place to be if you want to really enjoy a country in Africa. Democratic Republic of Congo is the place to be. There was a 5-year conflict, and that had government forces supported by Angola, Namibia and Zimbabwe against rebels that were backed by Uganda and Rwanda. Now, there was a peace deal and formation of a transitional government in 2003. But people in the east of the country remain in fear of continuing death, rape or displacement by militias and by the army. The war claimed up to 6 million lives, either as a result of direct fighting or because of disease and malnutrition. There's obviously the economic part and the economic side as well. And all sides were taking advantage of the anarchy to plunder natural resources, and some small militias continue to fight. Look at 1960, they got independence. Then they had an attempt at secession by the mineral-rich province of Katanga. A year later, the Prime Minister Patrice Lumumba was seized and killed by troops loyal to Army Chief Joseph Mobutu. 1965, Mobutu seized power, and he named the country Zaire and himself Mobutu Sese Seko. And he turned Zaire into a springboard for operations against Soviet-backed Angola, and thereby ensured U.S. backing. But he also made Zaire synonymous with corruption. And after the Cold War, Zaire ceased to be of interest to the U.S., so in 1997, the neighboring Rwanda invaded it to flush out extremist Hutu militias. It gave a boost to the anti-Mobutu rebels who quickly captured the capital, Kinshasa, and they installed Laurent Kabila as president and renamed the country DR Congo. So DR Congo's troubles continued. There was a rift between Kabila and his former allies. And then this country turned into a vast battleground. There were coup attempts, sporadic violence, and in the eastern part of the country in 2008, Hutu militias clashed with government forces in April of that year, and thousands of civilians were displaced. Another militia under rebel General Laurent Nkunda signed a peace deal with the government in January, but clashes broke out again in August. And then in early 2013, the UN secured its regional agreement to end the M23 rebellion in the eastern areas. And the group's alleged founder, Bosco Ntaganda, surrendered to the International Criminal Court to face war crimes charges. And so that was a brief history of what has happened there in Democratic Republic of Congo. When we take a look at the demographics, that's the basic history of it. But when you look at the geography of Democratic Republic of Congo, it has a beautiful country and this beautiful. You have the. It is located in sub-Saharan Africa, so. You have Angola, that is on the southwest end. Then very small, slight little shoreline of the South Atlantic Ocean. Then you have the Republic of Congo, and then you have the Central African Republic, and then you have South Sudan, you have Uganda, Rwanda, Burundi, Tanzania, across Lake Tanganyika and Zambia, all bordering Democratic Republic of Congo, and it straddles the equator as well, and as a result of its equatorial location, it experiences high precipitation. It has the highest frequency of thunderstorms in the world. Annual rainfall can total upwards of 2,000 millimeters in some places, and the area sustains the Congo rainforest, the second largest rainforest in the world after the Amazon. This massive expanse of lush jungle covers most of the vast low-lying central basin of the river, which slopes towards the Atlantic Ocean in the west. This area is surrounded by plateaus merging into savannas in the south and southwest, mountain terraces in the west, dense grasslands extending beyond the Congo River in the north. High glaciated mountains are found in the extreme eastern region, which is known as the Rwenzori Mountains. And so it's a beautiful country. And if you look at a satellite image of this country, you can see it's mainly green and with huge forests. And Democratic Republic of Congo is known for the Western gorilla. And this is why it's such an important country. So there's many rare and endemic species such as the common chimpanzee, the bonobo, the African forest elephant, the mountain gorilla, the okapi, which is a type of buck, the white rhino, and five of the national parks are listed as World Heritage Sites, the Karumba, Kahuzi Biga, Salonga, and Virunga National Parks, and the Okapi Wildlife Reserve. And it's the most biodiverse African country. But because of the constant war and lack of education, and as a result, there's been a lot of exploitation of these natural resources and of the jungle and of the bush meat. So they say hunting and selling of the wildlife there, and that is the difficulties that they face there and the challenges that they face there. But I think it's an absolutely beautiful country. Whether it's safe to visit or not at the moment, there's no advice in that regards. But when it comes to Islam in the Democratic Republic of Congo, it has been present there since the 18th century. The Arab traders pushed into the interior for ivory trade purposes, and Muslims make up about 10% of the population. And the vast majority of the Muslims in the country are Sunni. And alhamdulillah, Democratic Republic of Congo has a beautiful Islamic heritage as well. There's much to see in the country. When you talk about seeing, there's the Nyiragongo volcano. Then you have the Lola Ya Bonobo Sanctuary. Then you have the Parque Nacional Cauzibiga. Then you have the Parque Nacional des Virunga. Then you have the Mountains of the Moon, the third highest peak in Africa. Then you have the Rwanda and Uganda Gorilla and Chimp Adventure. And then you have the volcanoes that you can see there. So there's a lot that you can visit and see in the DRC, and a lot that you can do there. But like they say, you must be willing to take on adventure, willing to go hard and go the extra mile in order for you to really enjoy your journey and enjoy your time there. It's just gone now 24 minutes after 11. You're listening to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. Stay tuned.
Dil mein naqshe gumbad khazra kal bhi tha aur aaj bhi hai dil mein naqshe gumbad khazra kal bhi tha aur aaj bhi hai Yeah. کل بھی تھا اور آج بھی ہے گلشن ہستی ہستا بستا کل بھی تھا اور
آج 29 minutes after 11, welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. And yes, inshallah al-Aziz, just want to remind the listeners that inshallah this Wednesday evening at after Isha, inshallah al-Aziz, we are going to be hosting Qari Ihsan Muhsin Qasimi. You have heard his nazams, you have heard his naats, you have heard about him as well. And inshallah al-Aziz, we are going to be hosting him in Ermelo after Isha, and the program is going to be broadcast live on Radio Islam International as well. But it would be much better if you could come and listen to the program yourself, and inshallah take benefit from the program. So people from surrounding towns and from other places as well, Wednesday inshallah Aziz after Isha, and the program is going to be conducted by Qari Ihsan Muhsin Qasimi, is brought to Ermelo by Madrasa Ziaul Badr, Qari Musa Sirat Sahib. And just a little bit of history that I picked up of Qari Ihsan Muhsin Qasimi, that he was born in Kutesara, it's a village in Muzaffarnagar, UP in India. At the age of 4, he lost his eyesight. And despite losing his eyesight at a young age, he was really self-inspired and he really wanted to go on to study and learn. So he made an effort, and he went on to completing his Hifdhul Qur'an, and thereafter enrolled at Darul Ulum Deoband for his Alim studies. And he went on to completing his Alim studies, and together with that his Qira'ah as well. And despite his challenge of sight, he loved poetry, and he would not just be an accomplished poem reciter, but he was a poet by himself. And so he would compose his own poetry in Urdu, and he was really passionate about poetry. And alhamdulillah, he composes his own poetry and he recites his poetry as well. And the way he recites it, with a great heart and great sincerity and great beauty in terms of the control of his voice, and the way he recites really, really makes a difference. And I think you take great enjoyment out of learning, out of listening to him. And it's an increase in our iman, and together with that, our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us full benefit out of this program. So just to remind you once again, Wednesday evening, the Ermelo Muslim Jamaat and Madrasa Ziaul Badr will be hosting Qari Ihsan Muhsin Qasimi, at the Ermelo Jumu'ah Masjid, at the Ermelo Town Masjid, after Isha, this Wednesday. And the Isha Salah, the Jamaat, is at 7:30. Adhan is in 7:15. Jamaat is at 7:30. And there will be separate accommodation available for ladies as well. So you can come, and your wives can attend the program as well at the Masjid. Inshallah, this is completely separate accommodation for ladies in the Parda section, inshallah al-Aziz. So that's our program for Wednesday evening. For those who cannot make it for the program, we still have our live broadcast over Radio Islam International, and together with that also we'll be broadcasting over the internet on live audio streaming as well. And that the link we will have available for you, inshallah, Aziz, And we will be able to, if I can just find the link now, that is also a challenge in itself to be able to find that link. But inshallah, Aziz, we will be broadcasting it live over the internet as well. So be sure not to miss the program, inshallah. Okay, the link is www.livemasjid.com/Ermelo. Very simple. www.livemasjid.com/Ermelo. So on Wednesday evening, the program will be broadcast live on the internet as well, inshallah, Aziz. In our program today, first up, we want to look at challenges when it comes to parenting. We have faced many different things in our lives, and we are quite strong, and alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has given us strength and ability. But now we want to look at challenges of modern day parents. Now there's an opinion website which is for women, and it recently asked women, it's called She by She, it recently asked women to share their opinions about parenting today and to compare challenges today to those that their parents faced. The issue is whether or not advances in technology and recent education reforms make it easier to be a parent today versus how it was for the previous generations. Do parents today have it easier than their parents? And according to the participating woman, the answer is a resounding no. 74% of women find parenting more challenging today than in the past. And one of the social workers and author of this survey said, we live in a fast-paced, hectic society, and as the study reveals so clearly, this is creating new and different pressures for parents. Parenting has never been easy. There have always been challenges, but parents today face the combined challenges of such things as new technology, rapidly changing family dynamics, a 24/7 news cycle, and an overwhelmed education system. This is keeping us all on our toes. So when they took a look and they asked the ladies to identify the top parenting challenges, and the ladies who they had interviewed and they had really researched and asked them about the different challenges that they faced, these ladies were between the age of 25 and 64, and there were about 181 participants. So this is what they came up with. Obviously, in our context and in our society and community, in each community, the challenges are going to be different, but nevertheless, it's going to be quite some issues are going to be similar as well. So let's look at these, and perhaps you can also add on to the different challenges by sending me a WhatsApp on 0731738461. So the one issue, the one challenge that they say is the top in terms of challenges, parenting challenges that modern women face, is finding enough time in the day and balancing motherhood and a career. So it's for those ladies who are involved in a career or who have taken up some sort of a career. Now remember, when we are speaking about careers, there is a possibility that the ladies can be conducting their careers from their very homes, not necessarily leaving their homes, whether it is a home office or home industry or home retail, whatever they are doing, they are possibly running the career from home. But yet the challenge that they're facing is finding enough time in the day and balancing motherhood and a career. Because obviously when you need to earn money and when you need to do some work, you have to give it time. And you are drawn away from the attention that you want to give your children by a phone call that comes, an email that comes, a message that comes, a client that comes, and you are a supplier that comes maybe, and so you are drawn away from the time that you would want to give to your children. So that is one of the great challenges that a career mother will face. And remember that even if you are selling samosas from home, you are also a career woman. If you are baking from home, you are a career woman. Whatever you are doing in terms of earning a livelihood, you are a career person. And so this is a challenge that you are going to face as well. And I'd like to hear from you what steps you have put in to make sure that you are able to balance the two, careerhood or your livelihood and your mothering or your motherhood. And there'll definitely be interesting advices and suggestions and plans that people have put in. But one of the things that I think would benefit is that if you are able to separate your time, and if you are able to complete whatever work you need to do at a certain time at night or early in the morning before your kids wake up, so that you are, when they do actually wake up, you can give them your full attention. That is easy if you are working behind the computer, or if you are writing a book, or if you're writing a blog, or if you're doing somebody's accounting work, or if you are doing a designing or something like that, because then you can control when you do the work. But then if you are running a home retail business, you are unable to control when the client is going to come, when the supplier is going to call. You are unable to control that, and that would happen during daylight hours. It's not going to happen at 3 in the morning or at 8 at night. And so you have to then find a chance of being able to balance that career and that motherhood. So what you're going to do, or what you need to do, is to be able to, if you can afford to get a helper to assist you, that would be beneficial. If you don't have that luxury of a helper, then you need to just be able to work together with your child, work around your child to make sure that the child doesn't feel deprived, and at the same time your work gets done as well. So that's the one top challenge that they mentioned. The second one is effectively disciplining children. Now this is a challenge that I think almost every young parent, a modern day parent, is facing: effectively disciplining children. And the disciplining of children doesn't only, the question or the challenge that we are facing, or the misunderstanding perhaps that we have, is that the discipline of the children comes in at the time of transgression. We think that if the child misbehaves, that's the time that you instill discipline. But it doesn't work like that. Discipline is a structure. Discipline is a structure. And like any structure, it requires foundational effort, it requires building effort, and it requires the final touches as well. And then you are going to achieve discipline with your child. So it requires for all your systems to be in place, for all your routine to be in place, for everything else to be in place, and then you will achieve discipline with your child with the minimum effort. And so effectively disciplining your child is a big challenge that modern parents face. This is one of the issues that they face, and we're not going to go too much into that, though I'd like to hear from you what you can advise us on that. The third thing: allowing children to develop independence in a dangerous world. Great challenge. Why? Because the world out there presents many dangers for a parent who lives out in the city, in a normal community, meaning not in a gated, not in a walled, or not in a townhouse type of situation. You would find it very challenging to allow your child out of your own yard, or out of your flat, or out of your home, because as soon as they are out there, they are exposed to different types of dangers: fast-moving vehicles, criminals, different temptations, etc. And so, while you need to want to keep your child safe from all of that, you want your child to develop independence as well. So how do you balance the two? You want to keep your child safe by keeping them in the home, But you want them to develop independence as well. So that's the challenge that you are facing. Sometimes it's not a physical challenge of the dangerous world physically out there, but the virtual dangers that the child faces as well. Do you allow your child to have their own social media accounts? Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, etc. Do you allow your child to have those accounts? Do you allow your child to have a smartphone? Firstly, do you allow your child to have internet access? Do you allow your child to have their own email? So those are all the different dangers, virtual dangers that a child could face, which would then, if they become trapped in those dangers, can translate into physical dangers as well. So do you allow your child all those luxuries and those privileges of social media, etc., and internet? Or don't you? Because if you do allow them, then you're giving them a certain degree of independence, and they would develop their independence if you teach them responsibility. But sometimes if you allow them, then you're exposing them to the dangerous world out there. So you have to strike a balance in between. That's a big challenge that you face. The third challenge, the fourth challenge, bearing the cost of raising children. Every one of you, you are going to agree with me about the cost of raising children today. For some, it may not be an issue. For others, it would definitely be an issue. The cost of raising children is increasing day by day. You have basic needs and necessities, food, drinks, transport. Then you have education, which is becoming increasingly costly on a yearly basis. Then you have entertainment, you have clothing, which is a huge cost as well. And it depends on the type of lifestyle that you want to lead and how you want to dress your children and how you want to live. But still, even just basic living is quite expensive for parents. And here I'm looking at all parents from all different areas. You know, you must remember the challenges that parents in the city face are quite different to the challenges that parents in the country face. But when it comes to the cost of raising children, I think all parents would face a similar type of challenges. And if you look at one child, just look at the Eid, for example, and the clothes that you buy for the children at the time of Eid. We say wear your best clothing, but we know the reality is that kids want something new at the time of Eid, and we try our best to get something new for them as well. But how many of us can actually afford those new sets of clothes, shoes, and everything attached with that? So it becomes quite expensive. Food, everything related to raising a child can become quite a lot, and can become a big challenge for parents to bear. That's one of the top 10. So we've done 4 thus far. We're going to take a little break right now. It's 14 minutes to 12. We'll come back just after this break. Stay tuned to Al Mashreq on Radio Islam International.
Every soul shall have a taste of death.
As Muslims, we accept and prepare for the inevitable reality of death. The Jamiat Burial Center in Lanesia is here to assist the bereaved in their hour of need. Operating 24 hours a day with 2 hearses available, as well as ghusl and kafan facilities. The Jamiat Burial Center is registered with the government as a burial undertaker, and thus arrange all the government paperwork, postmortems and mortuaries. The Jamiat Burial Center in Asia. Telephone 011-854-6160 or alternatively 854-6371.
Mom, I'm hungry.
The food
duty's not done yet, my love. But I have a killer fragrant rice in the meantime.
Wow, Mom, this rice is so soft, fluffy, and smells lovely.
Yes, my child. This is the purest fragrant rice that you ever find and will certainly satisfy any hungry belly.
Thank you, Mommy, for buying a killer fragrant rice.
For more info on Akila Fragrant Rice, call Flavor Foods on 011-493-2397.
A world-renowned Nasheed reciter, Qari Ehsan Mohsin Qasi of India, will grace the shores of South Africa as a special guest of Madrasa Ziaul-Badr for a month-long tour in August, inshallah. Madrasa Ziaul-Badr, in conjunction with Spiritual Cause, will be hosting an array of fundraising dinners and massage programs across South Africa. For further information, call Kari Musa Siddat on 083-786-4221.
No quiero, gracias.
Zero for me, es aquí es un buen jugador.
Está bien, me rindo.
No matter where you come from or what language you speak, Bera's Motor Spares is a place to go. We stock motor spares and car accessories of high standards at an impressive price. Years of experience in the motor spares industry ensures that you get the best advice. Bera's Motor Spares, 48 Peter Ace Avenue, Alberton North.
Call us on 011-901-3100. Attention all traders, supermarkets and spazas. Visit Devlin Cash & Carry for all your deep cut specials on all listed groceries. Distributors of the widest range of household detergents and perishable goods. Open 7 days a week. Devlin Cash & Carry. Call 011-989-8800. Corner Klepkas and Person Road, Devlin.
Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. We're looking at the top 10 challenges of parenting in the modern era. We spoke about finding enough time in the day and balancing motherhood and career, effectively disciplining children, allowing children to develop independence in a dangerous world, bearing the cost of raising children. And now we look at the fifth item, and that is being a single parent and or having enough help or support. That is obviously a challenge, because being a single parent, you have to now become the breadwinner together with being a parent, and you have to see to everything. You have to be the mum and dad, you have to provide the emotional support, you have to provide the physical support, you have to be everything for that child. And you know, hats off to single parents who sacrifice their lives for the well-being and happiness of their children, and seeing to the betterment of their children's lives, and basically sacrificing their happiness, sacrificing their independence, sacrificing their social lives, sacrificing whatever else they want to do and what they wanted to achieve, so that their children can be brought up and be, you know, feeling like they have had a fulfilled life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward the single parents, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them strength and grant them ease. There's a challenge, and we must, if we know of people like this, we have to lend our support in whatever way we can and try and make life easy for them and assist them in whatever way we can, inshallah al-Aziz. Number 6, ensuring children receive a quality education, also one of the challenges of modern day. I've heard of parents who, as soon as the baby is born at the age of 1 or 2, already signing them up for a grade R class in a particular school so that they can make sure the child gets into that school and the child then gets a good type of education. So ensuring children receive a quality education, again, one of the issues that are more of a challenge in the cities and larger centers than in the smaller towns. So it's a big, big challenge that a parent would face. And we want our children to have the best type of education. Also, coming into play here is homeschooling and the challenge that many parents have taken on of homeschooling their children. And alhamdulillah, many of them making a great success out of it and seeing great benefit for their children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them and Allah ta'ala grant them strength as well. The seventh challenge of modern day parenting is having unreasonable expectations of children. So on the one hand, you want your child to have a quality education, you want them to achieve much, but sometimes you push your child too much, and having unreasonable expectations then decreases the self-esteem of the child when they don't do as well as what you expected them to do. And also it means that the child also goes through extensive work and goes through a rigorous program with extracurricular activities, etc. in the day, which makes it really difficult for the child to cope. So that is one of the challenges that you face, and you need to learn, and you really need to take experience and take counsel from other mothers, from elders in the family, elders in the community, or somebody that you can trust and somebody you can speak to about what are the reasonable expectations that you can have and can have of your children. And inshallah al-Aziz, you will do better with having reasonable expectations than expecting too much out of your child. Number 8 is dealing with bedtime hassles. One of the challenges of modern day parenting, the reason is the stimulation that our children receive is much more than the past. So they're quite stimulated, many different things. So you have hassles at the time of going to bed, and you need to deal with that. Number 9 is avoiding consumerism in today's consumer-centric society. This is a big issue. Avoiding consumerism and avoiding becoming one whose children wear only the branded clothing that is available. We will wear only the best quality, the most expensive shoes. We will travel only in the best name. Prem will travel only with the best name of nappy bag. Or my kids will travel only in the best car and will go to the best places. And so this consumer-centric society is a challenge. It's a challenge for all parents and all people alike. It's a huge issue because you find certain people who are driven by this, that my car must be of a certain standard, my clothing has to be in a certain standard, my shoes, my mobile phone, my children's clothes, my pram, my nappy bag, everything must be having that label, and it must be of that standard, and everything must be perfect. And people thrive. If you look at different people's profiles on social media and Instagram, they actually take pride in the type of labels that they wear. And you know, I only wear this certain shoe with a red sole at the bottom, and I only wear this certain type of sunglasses, and I only use a certain type of cosmetics. And you know, consumerism in today's consumer-centric society, to avoid that is one of the greatest challenges of parenting. And do we want our children to be raised like that? Do we want them to understand the value of things rather than the value of people? And you know, we need to raise our children, like he's saying that I read, we need to raise our children to understand the value of things rather than the cost of things. That's very important. And then the 10th challenge is guarding against technology influences. And that's a whole dedicated discussion on its own. And perhaps when we have a chance, we are going to be discussing these challenges with Brother Idris Khamisa. Jazakumullahu khairan for listening to the program today. The 10 top parenting challenges of modern time. Finding enough time in the day and balancing motherhood and career. Second, effectively disciplining children. Third, allowing children to develop independence in a dangerous world. Fourth, bearing the cost of raising children. Fifth, being a single parent and or having enough help or support. Sixth, ensuring children receive a quality education. Seventh, having unreasonable expectations of children. Eighth, dealing with bedtime hassles. Ninth, avoiding consumerism in today's consumer-centric society. And 10th, guarding against technology influences. So those are the challenges that parents would face in this modern era. Allah Ta'ala grant us strength and ability to overcome these challenges in the best way. Shukran Jazilan for listening to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International. We will be back tomorrow when we'll be speaking to Maulana Yahya Bam, inshallah, at 11:30. Shukran to my studio operator, Brother Muhammad Bilal, and shukran to you from Junaid Jassat. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.